People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People. My name is Greg, here with my partner Larry. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing really well. It's so good to see your ugly face again.
Yeah, thank you.
He looks like here. He's not.
I was expecting some sort of a slight.
I have to take it out on you. I've just been, just waiting for this moment.
I know. Hey, well, if anybody listening knows, the minute we got on the phone, it began. It didn't take very long. I will say this. It's been a long time. We haven't done this in 2 months, Larry. Over 2 months.
Has it been over?
Well, no. I'm sorry. It's been two. It'll be 2 months this week that we haven't recorded a show, which is crazy.
We've had all those other shows we did. Thank God for that.
Yeah. So what happens is, because of this shelter in place, we haven't been able to access the studio. But at some point in time, we were like, maybe we could figure out a way to do a show or two where we can do it from home. Just talk about what's going on right now, because this is essentially the whole reason we do the show, is like to help each other. I think everything kind of took a back seat, but then you have to find your own way in this new normal, right? Like you have to find your way in whatever the new normal is. And right now, this doesn't seem like it's ending right away. I mean, they're saying June. We don't know when it's going to happen. As of this recording, which we did on Thursday, there was some talk about LA extending. We don't know about San Francisco. They still are on target for the beginning of June. Where are you at with everything right now, man?
Well, kind of where you are, you brought up the fact that they were talking about sheltering in place from Southern California for another 3 months. And we were talking also about, was that wise or was it not wise? I mean, I'm kind of like on the fence in a way.
Yeah.
Because I think, like you're talking about South Korea, I mean, they had gone down to virtually no new cases. And then when they started to open things up, they spiked immediately. So here's the thing. So if we were to do that without a lot of precautions and just a lot of thought going into reopening, just like gradually, at the very beginning, I think that would be very wise once we start to do it. But to open things up and conduct business as usual, I think is that totally asinine. For that very reason, that you still have a lot of people out there that have gone undetected, and they will be infecting new people. And then what would have been achieved if we started to open up the economy? And then it would probably be even worse.
Right.
What happens down again? At least people are kind of like growing a little bit used to this, although they don't like it. Mm-hmm. At least they're becoming more accustomed to it. What would happen if they had to do it again and they had to readjust all over again? I think it would create chaos.
Right. And if you remember when they originally said that California was going to release it in phases, there would be phase one, phase two, phase three, and phase four, right? Phase one would be very modest. When they first started the second phase where they were like, all right, we're going to extend this, they said, we're going to start releasing in June in phases. And part of the phases were like, certain professions would be able to go back to work using social distancing parameters. But there was little things like, so we'll do this first. Then in the second phase, we'll open up X, Y, Z, and these people can go back to work. In the third phase, we'll do this, this, and this. In the fourth phase, we'll open up hair parlors, bars, whatever. So I thought that was the right approach, because I really don't believe it's going to do us any good to just lift the curtain and say, everybody go ahead back out, because people can't do that. They need to be told what they can and can't do. Otherwise, this thing is going to go back up. We flatten the curve, but if we go in back and do everything and allow people to go back to normal, all the work we did was for nothing. And basically we spent 3 months in the house back at square one. So and I don't, everything I read from professionals, from the World Health Organization to our very own experts, they say there's really no evidence that this thing is going to go away. It could be here longer than we all thought. We have to figure out how to live with it and manage even though it's going to be tough, we can't guarantee a vaccine's coming anytime soon. We can't guarantee any treatment for it yet. So we have to keep, until we have some kind of treatment to at least slow it down, we can't just go back to normal. And I don't think people really want to hear it, but that sounds like the reality.
Well, I mean, I'm totally on board with that. Like I just said, I mean, the fact is that if everything went back to normal, unless you're a complete idiot, I mean, with all the people out there that still have this, and a lot of them even undetected, seriously? I mean, we're going to get infected all over again. And like I said, I mean, once you start getting used to the idea of being locked down, per se, we can live with it because we're having to adapt. But once you take that away and everybody, you know, spikes up their expectations again, forget it. I mean, you're going to create chaos.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, this is stupid.
Yeah.
It's not even common sense.
You're right. And the problem is that it really comes down to two things. And everybody who knows about this show or listens to this show, no, we don't ever really take aside. It's not like we're here to say, like, this is our belief and here's what we want you to hear. Everybody should make their own assessments and their own judgments and come to their own conclusions using the information they're provided, but also do your research. But I will tell you this. It comes down to two fundamental choices that you have to make. One of the two. You are either going to be on the side of a moral decision of, look, it's going to suck. The economy is going to struggle, might even collapse. I might lose my job. I might not go back to a normal life for a long time, but most people have been safe in this, right? They've been home safe. They've been wherever they are safe with family, friends, whoever they're with. So the expense of freedom and the expense of doing all the things we've become so accustomed to has been to keep ourselves and our families and our loved ones, especially our parents and grandparents, safe. The minute you stop and think about the flip side of it, which is more of a economical decision, which would be, I want to go back to work. I want to get back to my life. Life is too short. I won't have a job. I'm not going to get the virus. I'm young. I'm healthy. I'm not worried about it. So if you take that side, technically, that seems to be the more conservative side, the Republican side, and then the more, and again, I hate to make it political, but everything seems political to me these days. Everything's politically motivated. And then the liberal side are more of the other view, which is like, keep us home until we have this figured out. We need a safe plan. I'm not going to go risk my life to go make a few bucks for somebody else. Now, there's two sides. And I'm just saying, you could probably sit in the middle like I do. I go both ways on this. I think you do too, in a way. You think people should work, but it's got to be careful. I just want to see a happy medium in there. What is the happy medium? I think the government and people on the higher levels of this need to come together and figure out what that means to each individual city or state.
Correct. I agree with that. And I think that's what it comes down to anyway. I think the feds have turned it over to the state and city governments to do that very thing.
Right.
And because we all have different rates of infection. So we're dealing with it differently. But the one thing, this is my own opinion, and like Greg said, we're not political here. We're just really not.
Realists.
And just totally, yeah, totally. This is just my opinion. But I think really what it boils down to, when you really think about it, is nothing more than common sense. And I think if we look at the data that's been out there for a while now, And we look at what's worked so far and what hasn't worked, really has worked, and what really hasn't worked, we need to take that into consideration and forget about the economy, forget about the politics. We have to look at what's been working. And the only thing to date that really has been this lockdown somewhat, because we know if we start to lift in certain areas, we know what happens. Mm-hmm. You can see that right away, and it's out there. I mean, those are the stats. There's no ignoring.
Keep going.
So, okay, no matter what side of the party line you guys fall on, you have to admit that. Those are statistics now. And everybody has to admit that, whether they want to or not. And so that's why I say it really essentially boils down to common sense then.
Right. And I think a lot of the concerns that we've not thought too much about, I'm sure people have. I mean, we haven't spoken in a while about this. So it's like just sort of throwing things out that I think come to mind that would apply to this show and what we do. I know that this is there's going to be issues with mental health coming out of this. I know a lot of people are struggling because they're sort of repressed and they can't leave their house. And there's a lot of folks that are already teeter on that manic mania. And I think this can trigger some bad things. I think depression and anxiety is going to go through the roof. People who have it are going to have it worse. And people who might not have been depressed or might not have been anxious might be getting there. I think this is going to open up new problems for us. But we can't look too much at the big broad stroke picture. I mean, can't look at the big picture yet. Because there's so much happening that is like the feet closest to the flame kind of thing, right? You're going to take your fire that's closest to your own feet. And I think right now the biggest fire is the disease. One of the most common things I've heard from people, usually on the side of going back to work, the people who definitely believe we need to get back to life and work and just be a little more careful, those people seem to say that they bring up, well, last year 70,000 people died from the regular flu. This hasn't even killed that many people. I say to that, that's a naive way to think because this has only been here for 2 months in our country, really. Essentially 2 months, 2.5 months. Most of these flus, they're always there. Yes, they always, but how many times in your life have you ever heard somebody, when somebody passes away, the person say, or somebody say, well, so-and-so passed away. They died of the flu. I don't know if I've ever heard it. Maybe old people who got sick and their immune systems were bad and then the flu got them because they were already very sick. But I've never heard celebrities dying from the flu or pneumonia, you know, very rarely, if ever. This is definitely not a thing where you could say, well, it's only killing 1% of the people who get it because we don't have any treatment for it. All the other flus, there's a way to at least slow it down and treat it in a way where people aren't really dying from it. So I believe you have to stop looking at this as only 1% of the people have died, because 1% of our whole population if 1% of our whole population got it, that's a significant amount of deaths. You know what I mean? We have 350 million in this country. So, you know, that's a lot of people that would die if 1%, and it would mostly be people who aren't sickly, but might be older and aren't less able to defend against illness. So I don't know, man. It's a definite conundrum.
It is, but here's the other thing. It's new. So this is new. I mean, coronavirus has been around for God knows how long.
Yeah.
But this is a different coronavirus.
This is 19. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So... And that's what we're dealing with right now. So until it's not new anymore, basically, and we learn how to deal with it, we find ways to remedy it if we can. We need to really be on the careful side of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it's not. Let's face it. If most of our workforce gets sick, well, what's that going to do to the economy anyway? So this is just stupid.
That's the point. It's like, so, and this is an argument I was having with my father, I believe, who was saying, you know, people got to get to work. Everybody's losing their jobs. And, you know, if you don't have a job, then they're going to collapse and the economy is going to collapse. And that is very true. But here's my thinking. And I'm letting you into my brain for a minute, which is scary. But if everybody's in the same boat, which everybody is in the same boat in this country, there's not like this group of people who are unaffected by this, right? Everybody, rich, poor, middle class, we're all in it, right? If everybody is struggling and no one's making money, the government has to continue to figure out ways to get people safe, keep money coming in for them, keep businesses in place, even if it means putting ourselves so badly into debt. Like they were worse than World War I, but putting our country so badly in the debt we never get out of it. So then that's something we'll deal with later. But there's no way they're going to just tell everybody who's defaulting on their rent and their mortgages and their car payments and their whatever insurance. They're not going to just throw everybody out in the street to fend for themselves. It can't happen. It would be, though, everything would change. The whole world would be chaos if that happened. So it just means they're going to have to figure out how to get us through this, even if it means people aren't working. And I think that's where, if people knew they had money, that they were going to get paid and they weren't going to have to worry about losing their jobs, I don't think everybody would be so eager to go back to work.
I agree.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I agree on most things, it's basic.
Yeah.
But it's true, though. But right now, it's just learning how to deal with what we've got to deal with. I've looked at different stats for different countries around the world, and we all basically, this is the great equalizer. I mean, it is like, it's not like you're even in the same boat. I mean, it's like we're in the same lake,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, it's
That's
just
a good
like
way of putting
everybody, yeah. It's really no different than that. So it's either sink or swim at this point, and we all have to deal with the same situation. I really do think we need to cross political barriers worldwide and get past the politics so we can all come together as a world family. Screw the politics. Will that ever happen? Who knows? But that's what needs to really be done, in my opinion. So we can look at it as a global family and come together as a huge unit to combat it. I mean, because I haven't really done the research, but I really don't think there's anything in history that's really coming close to this.
No, because I mean, no one has ever dealt with a pandemic all at once, the whole country, the whole world.
And I think that has changed everything, and that's why we all need to co-op to come up with some type of solution, if there's one to be seen, if there's one to be had. That's probably the best way to go about seeking and finding it.
Yeah, agreed. And the thing is it happens to be an election year here in the United States, right? So, and also social media is making it so you could see everybody's thoughts. It's not like in years past where it's, unless you talk directly to somebody, you really don't know what they think or what they feel or what their political affiliation is or whatever. You just kind of, you know, only the people you know. But now, because everything is out in the open on social media, you could see that there's tension building. You could see that some people are getting stir crazy. You could see that some people are like, let me stay home because I don't want to put myself at risk. You're seeing it all. And it essentially is just the same as politics. It's about 50-50, right? But understanding that if this continues and it keeps going for whatever, like they said, it could go a year, 2 years, whatever it is. If that is the case, there will be an global economical collapse. Everybody would. And that would create huge problems for everybody. However, what good is anything if the whole world is eradicated by an illness or a pandemic? This particular virus might not be as deadly as some of the others that have come along, or some that might come along in the future. But this is kind of preparing us now. What if this was an illness that killed 20% of the people that got it? You know, what if it was something that killed 50% of the people that got it? Then you start to think, would we be thinking the same way about releasing ourselves back into the workforce right now? No, we'd be petrified to even leave the house. We would be like, I'm not leaving because there's a 50% chance that I'm going to get this the minute I go out and I'm not going to survive. That would change the game. So it's almost because we see that the deaths aren't like super high. But if you lose a loved one, or if you see somebody who's young, I've had several people I know who are in their 30s and 40s that have died from this, that were perfectly normal health, that died. And they would, you know, 44 years old, 36 years old. These are people that weren't sickly. These weren't people with diabetes or pre-existing conditions. They might not have been the picture of health. They might not have been, you know, gym rats or whatever, but they were healthy and living a normal life, and this got them. And then there's several people I know that had it, that had very few symptoms. They lived through it for a few days, maybe a week, and they were good. I have friends that have been battling it for 3-4 weeks that are still not 100%. Everybody's different. But the bottom line is, we can't just release people to their deaths. We can't just send people and say, look, we got to save the economy, so you need to go back to work. some people are going to die. That can't happen, I don't think. I'm too much of a human being and a person before I am anything else to think that's a smart idea.
Yeah, and I go along with that 100%. So it takes us back to, what are we going to do? Are we going to start opening up now? Are we going to start, taking our guard down? I think that would be a foolish thing to do at this point, because we are making inroads. I think what we need to do is buy more time until we can find something more substantial to give us that kind of data before we start to do that.
That we don't really is have it. That. You just said what I think should happen. My exact words last night were, I think they say, let's get us through June. We've done it this long. One more month is not the end of the world, right? Let's see if we can come up with a treatment plan in that month. I don't think a vaccine's coming until next year. I really, if not longer, I think people are dreaming that it's going to happen because a lot of people are working on it. But this has only been a few months they're working on it. It takes a long time to get that. So let's say that's not coming for another year, or at least till next year. The best path is to have some kind of treatment so that people who do get it aren't going to die. We can at least control them getting to the point where they're on a respirator and they can't be taken off. So one more month, let's see. If that month yields no results and we aren't able to get a treatment, then we say, okay, let's figure out how we could do this where only the people that need to go to work, go to work. Everybody else who can work from home works from home. We'll determine which ones of those are which. There's nothing else to do right now. There's nothing else to manage except this. So that's all they should be thinking about, is what are those parameters we can do. So that's where I'm at right now. One more month.
It's a good point. And I think another month's not going to kill us. And the other thing that you just brought up about who can stay at home and work and who has to go to work to provide.
Right.
So, I'm not a big fan of tech. I haven't been, but I think from my point of view, for a lot of good reasons, but most of it has to do with social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in a lot of cases, now we're able to, like my daughter, for instance, she does everything remotely and she's totally good with that. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why she couldn't continue that way, and be totally fine. Granted, it's not the same as being in front of somebody physically, but it's totally doable. And in cases like that, those people can do it. A lot of techies can do it. A lot of these companies can do it. So that would cut down on exposure tremendously, because tech is so huge and the advances that we've made is so huge. So I think that's a real possibility, and that would work.
Right.
And that was true in a big way through some of this haze that we're going through right now.
Right. Well, let me sort of stay, we're on the same topic. We're not going to leave this topic, but we only have 8 minutes left. How are you doing? How are you managing? I feel it's important for people to hear, because you only know what your situation is and your loved ones, but how are you handling it?
Well, basically it's just me and my landlord. So before this whole thing went down 2 months ago, it was just her and I, anyway. And to date, it's basically just been she and I. So we go out every day for walks. We'll walk for about an hour. We see people out on the street. Of course, we're distancing ourselves. But it's not like the same thing being cooped up with somebody in a house and being within sneezing distance, something like that. So walking is good, actually. And it's a huge mental boost when you can get out of the house just to walk, even if it's by yourself.
Yeah.
And usually it is. So I do that. I did get together with my family for Mother's Day, but it was outside and we're around the pool and nobody was even close to each other. And we never did get close to each other. So, and that was totally fine. They say something like that is not bad, as long as you don't do it, as a pattern or get together with groups often, which I don't do. Work-wise, I've started to work more because some of the businesses are opening up, San Francisco construction, but they're only skeleton crews, and there are a few people on site, and it's actually open, built. There's no walls yet, so there's a lot of wind blowing through the area, and there's nobody's close to each other. We still have to wear masks and goggles and gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, in that case, But that's rare. So basically, if I'm on site on a project, there isn't anybody around. It's just me.
Okay.
So in this situation, I'm fortunate in the construction industry because I don't require a crew, and it's essentially just me. That's how I've been getting through. Other than that, I talk to my kids on the phone. We do FaceTime, stuff like that. I've even discovered people from my past. A girl I used to date, she found me on Facebook and friended me. I said, "My gosh,
yeah,
I haven't heard from you. Yeah, it's been over 40 years." So that was a score.
Yeah, that's so some of the good that's come from this. I think people have been communicating more than they normally do, connecting with loved ones more frequently. There's good things that patterns that have come out of this that are helping us cope, but also bringing us back to connectivity, and not in a digital way, but personal.
This is true. This is very true. And one thing too, if I might, I read something online the other day where, and this is a good thing. There are a lot of good things that are coming out of it. Most of it is relationship wise. It's a good way for people to come together with people from their past. A lot of, most cases, it's usually family members where they've been estranged and they've had these issues, right? So this is the kind of thing, if there's going to be anything, just like 9/11, that brings people together. And this is what's happening with a lot of people that have been estranged from one another for a long period of time, and they're starting to come together that way. So that's a positive thing for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's the – at this point, I feel like my best path is always to kind of remember the positives. And like what I've been able to come out of this with has – I've had unprecedented amount of free time to the point where there's times where I feel like I'm wasting hours of the day by doing nothing, like reading or listening to music.
It's been that way. You've loved to do nothing for as long as I've known.
Yeah, so that's my point. Like, I'm lucky because I'm a creative type and I like to make music. I like to listen to music. I like to do artsy things. I don't get the time I want to do those things all in normal life. Where now I have more than I've ever had, and it's allowing me to do that at my own pace. So what I've tried to remember is I like being alone. I like having my time to myself. I like quiet time. I like listening to music and reading and just being in my own space. So for that reason, I'm trying to keep that in mind, and I'm trying to keep positive about, like, look, I'm thankful I haven't lost anybody very close to me during this time. I'm thankful that, like, I've been able to enhance and grow relationships with people, because I feel like it's, again, you're seeing things in a more vulnerable way and you're feeling more vulnerable. So you're opening yourself up in ways you might not have in the past. So you can establish different kinds of relationships and enhance relationships. I think there are good things to come from it. So for me, I have 5 good days, maybe, in 6 good days. And then I'll have a day where I'm just like, this is crazy. Oh my God, what is happening? Usually it's 5 or 6 to 1. Maybe a month ago, a month and a half ago, it was 2 to 3 days and then 1 bad day. You know, it was more frequent. But now I'm coming to terms with it. And it's like I've gotten used to this now. So I don't hate it. I'm not like, this is the worst thing ever. I have all these things around me that I love. I got my cats. Yeah, I have things. So I don't hate it because I do get to live and I get to do things I enjoy. So I'm trying to keep positive.
Well, I got to ask. Now that I can see you, who cut your hair?
I did it. And you probably can tell.
I can't.
No.
I wasn't good.
Is it that bad? Tell the truth.
No, actually, it looks good. When I was seeing my family, they said I look, well, they couldn't stand it. I don't have hair this long, typically.
Yeah, your hair's long. It's feathered on the side.
So
my sister's is a hairstylist. And I did just the bottom, Lara, okay? And what I did was I did it just to shave around the ears and the back, the hairline, because it was out of control. But I went a little too far up. So then I was like, shoot, now I have to figure this out. So I called my sister and she walked me through it, how to make it look acceptable, blend it. And I had an electric, one of those like your buzzers. So she's like, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to put your phone there and I'm going to guide you. And she did. So it doesn't look like I cut it, but it doesn't look like a professional cut. It still looks clean. And thankfully, I'm not seeing people. So
That's true.
So it's not like I'm going in public to see, except when I go get coffee or something.
I'm walking around with holy t-shirts right now because nobody sees me.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm wearing the same clothes all the time. I'm washing them so much they're getting threadbare. So thank God nobody sees me anyway.
Yeah. But, so anyway, we're low on time, but I want to, we're literally over time, so I have to edit this. Tell me anything you want to mention before. We'll probably be back next week. We'll talk more about this. We'll get the conversation continued and started and whatnot, all that crap. But leave us with some thoughts.
Well, the only thing I can really think of that would speak to all of us would be just be careful. Give a lot of thought to what you do, every move that you make these days. When you go out in public shopping, anything like that, when you're close to anybody, just use good common sense. As much as you don't want to wear face masks and gloves and all that stuff, just keep on doing it until we find a way through this and get through the worst of it. I think that's just the best thing I can actually say right now.
Yeah, follow the rules. Do what they tell you to do, even if you don't like it. Just do it. And do it for the safety of your family, your parents, your grandparents, your older aunts and uncles, people in your life that might have pre-existing illnesses like lupus or diabetes or, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, all these different things. They can really affect these people and it can kill them. So even if you feel you're the picture of health, I know you know somebody who would be very, very affected by this. So next week we'll come back and we'll talk to you more. We're glad to finally get back on the air and start at least getting some of this off our chest. And we hope it's helping even one person to get through. So Larry, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
To my friend. Good seeing you again.
As always. All right. So we'll see you back here next week again for another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.